Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
This tax exemption eludes me like a gazelle eludes an arthritic cat.
Why can't Canby people keep track of their dogs? Like, what is...
To do that, you can't be stupid with guns.
Yeah. Set the board is saying they want to make Canby schools great again.
It feels like we've been doing this interview for years.
Inside of me was screaming.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
Tobacco products are easier for minors to illegally obtain in Clackamas County than in other parts of the state, according to a recent study by the Oregon Health Authority. The state conducted inspections at about a third of the state's 3,200 retail locations to test which ones would sell cigarettes, e-cigarettes, and vaping products, or cigarillos, to minors. In Clackamas County, 35% of the locations failed the inspection by selling e-cigarette products to minors, while 21.2% sold regular cigarettes to underage customers. Both of these marks were significantly higher than the statewide averages at 21.3% and 13.3% respectively. In January of 2018, the OHA started enforcing a tobacco sales age of 21, up from the 18 age. Initial results of the evaluation of Oregon's Tobacco 21 law show it may reduce the number of youth who take up smoking. But while the law made some changes to who can be fined for illegal sales, the recent inspection results suggest more needs to be done. The state inspected 94 retailers in Clackamas County, which is less than a third of the total retailers. These inspections additionally showed a rise in illegal sales of conventional cigarettes to people under the age of 21 in Clackamas County, while illegal cigarillo sales more than doubled statewide. This is significant because e-cigarettes, nicotine vaping products, and little cigarillos are sold in sweet flavors, which is a tactic used by the tobacco industry to make nicotine delivery products appeal to youth, according to the OHA report. Flavors hook kids and they don't realize that nicotine is a powerful drug that can seriously affect their health throughout their lives, says Sarah Present, Clackamas County Health Officer. We have a public health epidemic that is happening with our young people right before our eyes, but hard to detect due to the stealthy smoke-free e-cigarettes that look like thumb drives that kids get a hold of and even take to school. Illegal tobacco sales of retailers create risks for young people in Clackamas County that require the enforcement of Oregon's strong Tobacco 21 laws. Currently, there are approximately 287 known tobacco retailers in Clackamas County. One of the challenges for the county attempting to regulate tobacco sales is that Oregon is one of only 9 states that does not require a license to sell tobacco. This means it is extremely difficult to enforce the minimum legal sales age by holding retailers accountable for illegal sales, says Dr. Tom Janine, Deputy State Health Officer at the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division. A tobacco retail license would make it possible to track who is selling tobacco, educate retailers on how to comply with the law, and have meaningful penalties for repeat offenders. In Canby, 5 retailers were part of the inspection in which locations were tested on whether they would sell cigarettes, e-cigarettes, or other tobacco products to minors. 3 of the 5 passed with the inspection, 7-Eleven, Arco, Cutsworth Market, and 2 failed, Astro and Safeway. For complete results, visit our website, canbynowpod.com.
Ginger McCall, Oregon's first ever public records advocate, abruptly announced her resignation Monday after what she described as meaningful pressure from the office of Governor Kate Brown to represent her interests on the state's Public Records Advisory Council. Canby State House Representative Christine Drazen released a statement soon after, applauding McCall's decision to step down amid ethics concerns and what she, Drazen, characterized as enormous pressure that impeded her ability to perform the role of public records advocate. The public records advocate is an important and necessary role in our government, and transparency is critical in any ethical administration, Representative Drazen said. I applaud Ginger for standing strong against enormous pressure to act in a manner which would have been counter to the mandate of her office, and I would like to thank her for the significant work she did for the people of Oregon. McCall, a former Washington, D.C. attorney who specialized in open government, public records, and privacy laws, was appointed to the new office of the Public Records Advocate by Brown just 18 months ago to boost transparency and openness in state and local government. Brown proposed this office's creation as part of what she called the most substantial public records reforms of the past 40 years. But in her letter of resignation to Governor Brown, McCall wrote that she came to believe she and the governor's office had conflicting visions of the public records advocate's role. She said she accepted the job, believing she would operate with a high degree of independence and a mandate to serve the public interest, but she claims that the governor's general counsel, Misha Isaac, and staff do not share that view. She wrote that she has received meaningful pressure from Brown's general counsel to represent the governor's interests on the Public Records Advisory Council, even when those interests conflict with the will of the council and the best interests of the public. I have not only been pressured in this direction, but I have been told that I should represent these interests while not telling anyone that I am doing so, she wrote. I believe these actions constituted an abuse of authority on the part of the general counsel and are counter to the transparency and accountability mission that I was hired to advance. McCall went on to say that she holds the governor in great esteem and greatly admires the spirit demonstrated in the creation of the Public Records Advocate. The existence of such an office is an important step in ensuring transparency and accountability in the operation of government, she wrote. It is my hope that these are just growing pains along that path and that a way is still found to fulfill that original spirit. In a statement Monday afternoon, Governor Brown said McCall's allegations came as a surprise to her and her chief of staff, Nick Glosser. I find the fact that this situation has reached a point where she feels the need to resign deeply regrettable, Brown wrote. Had Ginger reached out to me sooner, I would have put my efforts into addressing her concerns and avoiding her resignation. The governor said that she agrees with McCall that the public records advocate should be truly independent. I look forward to meeting with Ginger immediately to hear directly from her how the council will develop recommendations to the legislature to create a truly independent position, she said. Deputy Public Records Advocate Todd Albert will serve as McCall's interim replacement until a new advocate is appointed. Her last day will be October 11th, after which she plans to return to Washington, D.C. to take a job with the federal government.
Two people died in a fatal two-vehicle crash at the intersection of South Bernards and Dryland Road near Cambie Friday afternoon. Clackamas County Sheriff's Office deputies were dispatched at 4:36 p.m. on the report of a two-vehicle traffic collision in unincorporated Clackamas County between Molalla and Cambie. There were serious injuries reported. Deputies responded to the location along with the Molalla Police, Molalla Fire District, and Cambie Fire District. First responders arrived and found several bystanders already helping. The collision was between a Mini Cooper and a white Dodge Ram pickup, and both vehicles had extensive damage. The driver of the truck appeared to be uninjured. The female driver of the Mini Cooper was found to be deceased in the vehicle. The male passenger had extensive injuries. He was taken to an area hospital by Lifelight and later died as a result of his injuries. A Clackamas County Deputy Medical Examiner, Clackamas County Sheriff's Criminal Reconstruction and Forensic Technicians teams responded to assist with the investigation. The driver of the Mini Cooper is believed to be at fault, police said. The names of those involved have not been released.
The Clackamas County Community Road Fund Advisory Committee will hold its third meeting from 6 to 8 p.m. today, Thursday, in room 118 of the Development Services Building, 150 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City. The public is welcome to attend. The primary focus of the September 12th meeting will be to discuss the criteria that will be used to evaluate possible construction projects to recommend to the Board of County Commissioners this fall. The 15-member committee made up of residents from throughout the county is charged with reviewing proposed transportation construction projects that would be funded with revenue from the new countywide vehicle registration fee, which goes into effect in January. Revenue from the $30 per year fee commissioners approved in February 2019 will go into a dedicated fund for projects to relieve congestion improve safety, and maintain local roads. The advisory committee will focus on identifying the top congestion relief projects to be funded with the new revenue. Recommendations will be presented in November to the Board of Commissioners, who will make the final decision about what projects will move forward first.
Police beat for the week of August 6th through the 12th. On August 6th at 12:15 a.m., a speeding vehicle was stopped and the driver was cited. Several minor passengers who provided false information to officers were taken into protective custody for curfew violation. At 1:51 p.m., a handgun was turned in to police for safe destruction, because I'm guessing there were no hobbits available to take it to Mount Doom. That's a little nerd joke. 11:59 p.m., a vehicle traveling at night without headlights was stopped, and an out-of-state driver who could not provide a license or identification was arrested for possession of awesome methamphetamine. Just getting this week started right. At 3:06 a.m. on August 7th, while responding to a report of an unattended backpack being left outside a convenience store, a witness reported a man running down the middle of the highway. When contacted, the man, who was running with his hands over his head, advised he believed he was being followed by a drone, so he left his backpack at the convenience store. He was subsequently taken into custody on a Clackamas County probation violation detainer, and of course, because what else would make you think that a drone was flying at you? Methamphetamine. At 10:06 a.m., a traffic stop was conducted on an uninsured vehicle with expired out-of-state tags. The suspected driver was arrested for theft and possession of methamphetamine and heroin. But that's not it. There's more. His passenger was arrested on a probation violation detainer and also in possession of methamphetamine and heroin. On August 8th at 12:37 a.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was stopped, and the driver was taken into custody for possession of methamphetamines. I mean, seriously, it's literally just methamphetamine just coming through our town like crazy. On August 9th at 8:07 p.m., report of a vehicle's license plates being stolen. Just the license plates, not the rest of the car. This seems like just a really jerk move. August 10th at 12:18 a.m., a man was arrested for violating a restraining order after the officer noticed the individual sitting in a vehicle parked suspiciously behind a closed business. Not sure how you park suspiciously. Is it like maybe he was not on the road all the way? I don't know. At 10:10 a.m., following a routine traffic stop, the driver was arrested for driving with a suspended license. And that's it. There's no drugs in that one, so all right. At least it was just that. 7:31, a person self-reported mistakenly shooting an arrow from his bow into his neighbor's fence. The man was cited for unlawful use of a weapon and reckless endangerment. I mean, if you're gonna be Robin Hood, you gotta be ready to, go against the sheriff of the town. August 11th at 4:43, an intoxicated individual who had been asked to leave a restaurant returned and displayed threatening behaviors. The man was subsequently arrested for unlawful use of a weapon, resisting arrest, and, you guessed it, possession of methamphetamines. Finally, at 10:19 on August 11th, report of two dogs at large. Dog owner retrieved the animals. So, ending on a good note.
Located just off the corner of 13th and South Ivy is one of the most magical places on Earth, Puddin' River Chocolates. That's where Chief Chocolatier Teresa Sassy and her team of Oompa Loompa, employees, hand-make some of the richest, most delicious gourmet chocolates you can find anywhere. Yeah, that's right. Willy Wonka wishes he was this good. Teresa uses the highest quality free trade cocoa from around the globe and locally sourced hazelnuts, berries, and other ingredients to create world-class confections that are a treat to the eyes and the taste buds. And they do more than chocolate. The classic fondue is an ideal blend of Swiss cheese, wine, and spices that you have got to try. Puddin' River's creations make a great gift for a loved one, or hey, for yourself, because you know what? You deserve it. I deserve it, Frankie! Find them at puddinriverchocolates.com. true story. When we first started the Can Be Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers, just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real life human and a creative genius who would deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. A Song by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. Is anyone sad in the world, I wonder? Does anyone weep on a day like this? With the sun above and the green earth under? Why, what is life but a dream of bliss? With the sun and the skies and the birds above me, birds that sing as they wheel and fly, with the winds to follow and say they love me, who could be lonely? Oh ho, not I. Somebody said in the street this morning, as I opened my window to let in the light, that the darkest day of the world was dawning, but I looked, and the east was a gorgeous sight. One who claims that he knows about it tells me the earth is a veil of sin, but I and the bees and the birds, we doubt it, and I think it a world worth living in. Someone says that hearts are fickle, that love is sorrow, that life is care, and the reaper death with his shining sickle gathers whatever is bright and fair. I told the thrush and we laughed together, laughed till the woods were all a ring, and he said to me as he plumed each feather, well, people must croak if they cannot sing. Up he flew, but his song remaining rang like a bell in my heart all day, and silenced the voices of weak complaining that pipe like insects along the way. O world of light and O world of beauty, where are there pleasures so sweet as thine? Yes, life is love, and love is duty, and what heart sorrows? Oh no, not mine. Today's Canby Conversation comes to you from the 135-year-old Canby Pioneer Chapel. It was built in 1884 when the need for a church in town prompted the construction of this building. It was a block to the south of where we are now, but it is now one of the oldest, as far as we know, and grandest buildings in Oregon. And I'm here with the owners, Marilyn and Marty Nash. How are you guys doing?
Really
doing great.
Thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a great delight to be here. Do you think this is the first podcast that's ever been recorded from the Canby Pioneer Chapel?
I believe it surely is the first podcast.
The Methodists back in 1884 weren't doing too much podcasting,
probably. Believe so.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start with that, a little bit of the history about this phenomenal place.
Well, this building, as you noted, was built in 1884 by the Methodists, and when the Catholics purchased it in the early 1900s, they turned it around and they actually rolled it back one block. So it's not in its original resting place, but right. It's still as magnificent as it was back in the early 1900s. And as you can see, it's a grand room here in our sanctuary with the beautiful stained glass windows and all of the pressed tin walls here and the beautiful acoustics that actually are a wonderful complement to our concerts here. So we're sitting here in the grandeur, which has been Marilyn's vision for a number of years to keep it in its pristine condition. So from there, the Catholics had turned it over into private hands in the early 1960s, and today we own the chapel, and Marilyn continues to do some really incredible things as far as upgrades on the grounds itself.
Mm-hmm. Marilyn, you've owned and been involved with the property here since 2005.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that process, kind of what the chapel, the state of it was like then?
I would love to. Well, I would love to. Actually, I was a single woman at that time, and I actually bought this chapel The down payment with a credit card, which is kind of amusing.
It was a different time.
It was definitely a different time. I had catered some weddings.
It was one of those
here.
Things where they say, you know, with something is just you needed an owner and need some work, and you could buy it for a song, what they say, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I actually bought it from a gal that was a nurse, and she did a few weddings here. So I actually catered a wedding here and told her if she was ever going to sell it, to give me a call first, and she did. Yeah. And so that's how I purchased the chapel.
Yeah, yeah. So it was in at least a usable condition and was being used.
Somewhat. Yeah. It had a velvet red curtain in the front and turquoise carpet and a roof that needed to be replaced.
Sounded 1970s.
Yes, it was pretty messed up.
Yeah. So you, what was your interest in purchasing it?
I actually just walked in here and just fell in love with it. The pressed tin walls, I think, just really spoke to me. It was a very peaceful place, and it still continues to be a very healing, peaceful place for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so. You just sort of get that feel
from
being in here.
Yes, you do.
You know, and it, just imagining all the stories, all the weddings, all the...
If the walls could talk, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
All the human life that was lived here. It's pretty incredible. Did you have the vision for it to be a music venue at that time?
Actually, music and weddings. I'm a true romantic, obviously.
Yeah.
And weddings were kind of what I knew I needed to start with, but I've always loved music and was really hoping to have more music here. So
cool.
I'm really excited about it. We're still doing weddings. We have a young lady that has taken over the wedding business part of it for me, Lauren Humphreys, and is doing a grand job for us. So very excited about what's happening here at the Canby Pioneer Chapel Performing Arts.
So how can folks get in touch with Lauren, or if they're...
Actually, you just go to our website, pioneerchapel.net, and there's a place on there that says weddings, and it will take you right to her information.
So over the years, it's it obviously until the 60s, you said, Marty, it was a church, and then it came into private hands. It's been used for all kinds of different things, obviously weddings, concerts. But I mentioned to you, Marilyn, I've even heard people think it was under new ownership, just because like, it seems like in recent years, or recent months, I should say, there's really been, you guys have, and we'll talk about some of the new investments you've made in the outdoor areas, but there's kind of a renewed energy and just a renewed push, it seems, from you guys to really promote this incredible place. There's a new sign out front.
The Las Vegas sign.
Oh, I love it. I love the sign. Yeah, I don't think it's Las Vegas at all.
Cute. So. Actually, yes. We actually leased the chapel for 2 years to Michael Allen Harrison, which is still our resident artist here, piano player. And it was wonderful to have somebody kind of take it for a short time. But this is really our love. And so Marty came back into the picture and said, okay, let's spend the money. Let's do it. So we did a lot of new improvements, and we're really excited about what's happening here.
Yeah.
And Canby's finally getting to know us, which is really wonderful after 15 years, right?
Well, now that it's under new ownership.
At least exactly.
Some folks seem to think.
Exactly.
That's awesome. And I know you guys have done some new partnerships with the Chamber, hosted some chamber events here. And I've heard that there is just a lot of buzz around the chapel. So what are some of the investments you guys have done?
Well, the exciting thing about the investments is that we not only have this beautiful sanctuary for indoor concerts during the fall and winter, but our vision was to put up an event tent. And so earlier we toured you through our event tent, which is 1,800 square feet, but it's just a beautiful addition to the chapel with the beautiful chandeliers. It has the Maryland touch.
Right.
And so our vision was to have outdoor concerts.
Is the Maryland touch just everything's white?
Oh, my goodness.
Everything, do you know that's my favorite color, right?
Everything's white, and she sees beauty in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, I do.
It absolutely complements what we have done here.
Yeah.
So along with that, we've booked some pretty impressive concerts. We've already had 4 concerts, and people just love the new addition to the chapel itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're also trying to open it up more for some younger people. We have had the choir and band from the high school come in and recital here.
Yeah.
We've had the Wilsonville Music School come and do a concert.
Awesome.
So it's been really fun. We're hoping to get more young people coming through to really enjoy the history of this beautiful place.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the concerts we have coming up?
Well, we've got an exciting lineup. In fact, in just a couple of days, we've got Those Willows coming back. They're a local band. They were here earlier in the year. And so Those Willows with Isabel Walker, who is a local talent. She was with the Canby High School for a number of years as a teacher. So we're really excited about this concert. And it's happening on September the 14th at 7 o'clock. So if people are in the area, we would welcome to come down and see the show.
How would you describe their music, Those Willows and Isabeau's? It's kind of hard.
it's a unique sound, but they love to talk about it. It's the indie sound.
Indie, a little folky, a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And their music really appeals to a younger audience. Mm-hmm. And when we had them here just earlier in the year, we had a little bit of a mix of generations.
Okay.
And
cool.
So it was a lot of foot tapping amongst a lot of different generations. And so they're tapping into a new market, and they love playing here. They played inside. Now they're going to be playing outside. In fact, it's going to be one of our last concerts outside before we pull some of the concerts in. Then following Those Willows, October the 6th, we've got a John Denver tribute.
Okay.
And then we've got a special tribute, the Beatles tribute, on October the 18th.
Cool.
We've got a Four Lads from Liverpool coming up from Anaheim, California to perform. We're really excited about both those concerts. And then we finish it up with a Patsy Cline tribute by Dean Mueller and Julia Michi. And then we have Tony Starlight coming back. And Tony is loving the chapel.
Yeah.
And he's coming back on October the 20th to do Neil Diamond again. And he did that earlier in the year, packed the place, and it was probably our best concert regarding people just getting up and rocking to the music and never sat down during the whole concert itself.
So we've had Tony on the show before. And when he was coming to Canby to do these shows, he asked us to rerun the interview that we did. We were happy to do. And also, he offered to do ticket giveaways to any of the three shows the winner could pick. And I do recall the winner picked Neil Diamond. Like that seemed to be a big
great.
Hit for
this
area.
It's fantastic. It's my favorite for sure.
So it seems that, and I know some weeks ago now, it was you did like a blues festival that was here. You've done quite a bit of different music all throughout the summer. Is that intentional, I would guess, to sort of have a wide variety of different talents?
Definitely variety. And Norman Sylvester was definitely a huge hit. And he actually had one of the Blazers' birthday parties kind of come in, and they sang happy birthday to him.
Yeah, Kenny Carr was actually here.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so he actually joined the concert, and so we did a special little birthday sing to Kenny. And it was just a great night. We also had a local band called Papa Smoke here, and then Michael Manning and the Forest Jack Band. So it probably had the feel of Canby now being a part of the blues scene, and it was definitely a special evening.
Yeah, I love it. So there's actually, so like Bill Shonley has done some stuff here on the Christmas shows. There's kind of a Trailblazer connection here and sort of a little bit, I don't know how this will sound, but like a little bit of a Portland foothold here. You know, Those Willows are kind of Portland based, and just this is a great opportunity for folks. You have some local people as well, but some folks from outside the area, whether Portland, Wilsonville, or whatever, to come and share their talents with our community.
That really is the goal and the dream that I really have had for this chapel since day one, is to become a destination place.
Yeah.
And we are slowly becoming a destination place. Portland is, people don't want to drive clear to Portland anymore, and they don't want to do the parking in Portland. So they're coming here and seeing the same kind of talent. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah.
Destination place.
Absolutely. I love the tent space out there because I remember when I was looking at some of the history for this kind of place, it's a little bit of a callback to when, not in this location, I guess, but they would do revivals, you know, in this area, the church would. So it's a little bit of a callback to that. In your mind at all, but I love stories. You kind of mentioned that fun story from the blues concert. Are there any other kind of fun or interesting memories of things that have happened over the years you guys have been involved in this place?
It's been a fabulous time. We actually had Cinderella, one of the Cinderellas of Disney World, get married here a few years ago. Yes. And really, truthfully, she walked in for the rehearsal and she
worked at Disneyland.
She was a Cinderella at Disneyland. At Disney World.
Yeah.
Disney World.
Disney World.
And, she did look so much like Cinderella. It was almost spooky. It was like she looked just like a Cinderella.
You had royalty here as well.
We had royalty here. Absolutely.
On top of that, it was truly a storybook romance because she actually married the Beast from Disney World.
A little bit of a mashup there.
Yeah. And so it was really a magical day.
They walked down the aisle to Beauty and the Beast. So there you go.
That is lovely. That's great. It's annoying having to clean up all the shoes after that wedding.
Yes. This is true.
Yeah, and all the rat droppings from the wedding party. So
it was
a great story.
Yeah, it was fun. We've had a lot of great stories here.
Yeah, a lot of weddings.
One of my favorite stories, too, is that it became a true partnership, Marilyn and I, when I met Marilyn in her chapel in 2006. And so we're actually sitting near the spot where I actually discovered Marilyn for the very first time.
Yeah, Marilyn loves this story.
Yeah, she just loves this story. And
yeah.
So,
so you told me this story when you're actually standing on that spot. So you were acting it out. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually came in from the door to the sanctuary, walked in,
looking for a wedding
space. This is where my daughter, my oldest daughter, got married in this chapel, and that's how Marilyn and I actually met. And our first date was actually at my daughter's wedding reception.
No way.
Yeah. So
that is great.
So it
Marilyn,
has a little.
Did you say you were a romantic earlier?
I'm a true romantic. Andrea Pacelli was playing. What else can I say?
Yeah.
True romantic.
Yeah. So it is truly a special.
You
place
didn't finish this story. So she came through. Andrea Bocelli was playing the piano, literally.
Andrea Bocelli actually was playing when I saw Marilyn, because I was actually looking for a place for my oldest daughter's wedding, and I spot this beautiful woman in a gold gown, second pew from the front, and I was smitten.
Mm-hmm. And the ceiling opened. Angels were
absolutely.
Chorus. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
So
okay.
She captured my heart. You're absolutely right, Tyler.
Moving on. The last thing I wanted to ask you about was just Marilyn, as far as the Marilyn touch, as Marty would put it. But the gardens that are around here are just lovely, and I know that you have a lot to do with that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I do love gardening. My grandmother was a master gardener, so I've always been involved with gardening, and it's just a great, wonderful outlet and beautiful thing for me to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything else that you guys wanted to tell people about or that you want to add?
Come and join us.
Yeah, come and join us. You talked about the Portland. Besides the concerts I announced, we just got Michael Allen Harrison and Aaron Myers are going to appear here in November 30th for a couple of shows. And then our Christmas concerts are going to be an amazing time here. We've actually got 9 different Christmas concerts. Michael and Julianne will be here doing 4 shows. We've got Joni Harms, who's an incredible local talent here, and Joni and her band will be here for a concert. John Nielsen's coming back.
Yeah.
So,
do you know what she calls her band? The Harms Way.
Harms Way. There you go.
Yes.
Love it.
So we've got a lot of great stuff coming on in November and December, also here at the chapel.
Cool. Where can folks find out info?
Again, you can go to pioneerchapel.net and see our homepage and our calendar for a list of events. And we continue to add more and more all the time. So
awesome.
Continue to stay tuned to pioneerchapel.net.
Yeah. And follow you guys on all the social media, Pioneer Chapel and Pioneer Chapel Performing Arts.
Yes. And also it's Pioneer Venue is the Instagram.
Oh,
the,
cool.
the millennials know much more about Instagram than I.
Those millennials and their Instagram,
I know,
tell you. So I didn't realize, but we were just talking about the bell tower and the steeple here, and I didn't even know that there's still a bell in there, but it's still there and
it's
works.
An original bell, and we ring it actually until everybody goes out of the chapel after a wedding. So my neighbors know that when that bell rings, there's been a wedding at the chapel.
There you go. Is that the only time that you use it normally?
It usually is, yes, just
great.
During the wedding.
But you
time.
Are going to ring it, especially just for us.
I'm going to ring it just for you.
We're going to outro this segment so you guys can hear the
so
bells.
So you can know that you're going to the chapel to get married.
1884 bells.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Marty and Marilyn. This is wonderful. This place is just gorgeous. If you guys have never seen it, definitely come to a concert here or come come check it out, because I mean, even just on its own merits, it's a wonderful space. But when you add in the history, the tradition, it's just an incredible treasure that we have here in Canby. So really appreciate hearing a little bit about it. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
Really appreciate you coming.
The Canby Now Podcast and Now Here the Studios would like to thank Ryan David Dwyer for composing the intro music for our new limited series podcast, The Other Side. Ryan is a local composer, songwriter, and budding music producer interested in a variety of contract jobs. He also loves to teach people how to play the piano without sheet music, so they can just start channeling and experiencing their inner creativity. Give his website a look at harpaziomusic.com. That's harpaziomusic.com.
Hey, Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Canby believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined. Well, as you just heard, coming up this Saturday, there will be a concert at Canby Pioneer Chapel featuring Isabel Walker and the band Those Willows. And joining us on the line now, once again, on the Canby Now podcast is Jack Wells and Mel Tarter of Those Willows. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, welcome back onto the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Absolutely. So we had you on back in April when you were doing your first concert in Canby. Obviously, you liked it enough to come back, huh?
We did. It's a really awesome space. And this time we're actually going to get to play in the garden event tent, which is heated. So even if it rains, it'll be like a nice way to bring in the fall.
Ooh,
and
yeah. Nice. But then if it's really nice, you'll be like, oh, I wish we were outside. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. No, there's I guess they can take the walls down and stuff. So it's a nice fresh air vibe.
Oh, there you go. Well, maybe that'll happen. So cool. Well, what have you guys been up to for the past 5 months or so since we last chatted with you?
We've been very busy. We just hit the road on tour yesterday. So we've been working on planning that. And the tour is in support of our newest single, which is called My Landline, and that came out yesterday as well. So
yeah.
It's been a lot of preparation, and we're finally kind of reaping the rewards. Now we're out on the road. So
that's awesome. That's got to be fun to, like, you know, have all the preparation come together, and finally you can just do it.
Yeah, we haven't gone on like a stint in like a year in the U.S., so it's really nice to like hit back the old places and reconnect with people that, you know, we've met along the way.
Yeah, yeah. I believe you mentioned you're calling us now from the Seattle area.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about this new single. I've heard it. I really enjoy it. We're going to sample a little bit here to outro this segment so folks can hear it as well. But My Landline, that's some ancient technology. I've heard of it. What is this song about?
Yeah, we kind of like that idea because we're like, one day people aren't even going to know what it is, so at least it's kind of set in stone in our song forever. But it's basically just about how, you know, things are not, you know, in the world, it can really weigh you down. Things get a little bit dark, especially it feels like nowadays. So it's kind of about those people who help you to, you know, remember who you are through it all, despite all of that, you know, emotional turmoil of just being a part of the world and being a human in it. So,
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got kind of the fun, like, retro, you know, photo artwork that to promote it as well, of you guys in the band, like, using those old landline phones that looks really cool. But, yeah, I like the way you put it, Mel. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, like, my
you know, boy years or my teenage years, and, you know, maybe some people can relate to this as well, but like when things are just hard, you know, and you're like hidden up in your room, you got the door locked, but you've got your friend on the line, you know, or girlfriend or whatever, that you're able to talk to. And just like you mentioned, kind of that anchor that you have, it brought me back to that a little bit.
Yeah, that's the point. It's kind of like a nostalgic song. We tried to take in these components of like old soul kind of grooves, and then also kind of combine it with like a newer, you know, it's like those things never change in your life, you know. Like your anchor is your anchor. Even though we're on cell phones now and we don't have like dial tones and all that other thing, we you know,
you still have your people, you have speed people. Dial.
Yeah.
yeah that's awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about, if it's all right, the lady that you'll be sharing some of this concert with here in Canby, Isabel Walker. Some of our listeners may be more familiar with her. She used to teach at Canby High School and has, you know, done some concerts in the area. But maybe for folks who aren't familiar, can you tell just a little bit about her and kind of her style?
Yeah, she is... she is such a good songwriter. And actually, I found out about her when she started... her process of leaving Canby High School, and her videos really touched me about how much she'll actually miss teaching, but she needs to do kind of her passion, which is music. So
yeah,
it's been cool to watch that process of her, you know, trying to stay in touch with all of her students, but still she's been out on the road, I think, since the day she left the school. So she makes really great, I guess, like poppy folk music. I really enjoy it. So
yeah, you've been singing like all week long.
Yeah, so. They're catchy.
nice. Cool. Oh, I didn't realize that necessarily, that she had been out on the road. So this is a little bit of a homecoming for her. That's great. I do know a lot of her, you know, former students were very sad to see her go. She had made quite a few strong relationships with them, made quite an impact on some of our young people. So
yeah, it seems like she's doing really great things. So we're happy to have her on the bill.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about you guys as well. Tell folks, we talked about your new single, but a little bit kind of what your concerts are like, what folks maybe can expect if they're seeing you for the first time here in Canby on Saturday.
Yeah, so, I mean, last night we just had a show and someone came up to me and said like how we touch all these different genres and different places in music, but yet we still have our own unique sound that is cohesive. So in my way, I guess in a way to explain it is that we like to touch a lot of different vibes and energy and kind of make our set list kind of flow in a way that you can like get a story here and there. You can get just fun times here and there. So our shows are just kind of like a balanced diet or something. I mean, at least that's what we try to do. You know, cool. We like to bring people in and have intimate moments. Then we also like to just like rock out and, you know, dance a little bit. So
cool. Mel, anything to add to that? Did Jack nail it?
I think he did a great job. Yeah, we have some Motown influences, some pop, some folk, some rock and roll. So hopefully there's something for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say one thing you guys are really known for is obviously the harmonies, mainly brought by the two of you.
Thank you.
So that concert's going to be this Saturday, like we said, 6:30. 10 tickets are $10 in advance. You can also get them at the door. Anything else to add, guys, before we let you get back on the road?
I mean, we look forward to being back, and it's such a cool space. Marty and Marilyn are such great people. So
yeah.
Oh, there's going to be tacos in here.
Yeah, there's going to be burritos and beer. So if that's your extra pull, they're really
good.
There
you go. You had me a beer, so.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Thanks for coming back to Canby. We'll see you out there.
Yeah, thanks for having us again.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Can Be Then is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. Open daily, find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant in downtown Canby. Canby lost a piece of its history in 1974 when the city's 1911 grade school building burned to the ground in a horrific fire. It was known to almost everyone as the Old Castle, named after the iconic Gothic bell tower with which it was originally built. Though the bell tower lasted only a couple years, the name stuck forever. Though it was no longer used by students, having been converted to administrative offices some years before, the Old Castle was indeed occupied when the fire broke out shortly after noon on Tuesday, February 13th. A secretary reported the smoke to Canby Grade School Superintendent Paul Ackerman, who bravely attempted to fight it himself with the aid of a handheld extinguisher. He quickly realized he was out of his depth and pulled the alarm for the Canby Fire District. Units from Canby, as well as Oregon City, Clackamas County, and Mullalo responded, but even so, it took well over an hour to bring the blaze under control. The top two floors of the three-story structure were completely destroyed. The cut line under the Canby Herald's photo of the tragedy, "The Old Castle is in agony," reflected the pain of loss of the entire community. A little-known casualty in the fire was Boy Scout Troop 258. At the time, they were meeting nearby in the War Surplus Quonset Hut that once stood on one corner in Waite Park, but all of their equipment, tents, camping boxes, and personal effects were stored at the Old Castle. It all burned along with the historic school building. In 1969, the city's first middle school had been built, and it was followed by a new elementary school in 1975. The following year, the school board decided it was high time to give official names to its burgeoning real estate portfolio, and they reached for the local history books to do so. The 1969 middle school was named for Ackerman, the longtime superintendent of Canby Grade School and one-time would-be firefighter. The new elementary school nearby was christened after Canby founding father Philander Lee. The 1947 Grade School on North Grant Street, the city's oldest building following the loss of the castle, was named after William Knight at this time. Eccles Elementary had previously been so named in honor of H.H. Eccles shortly after his death in 1955. Also in 1976, the documentary film Future Shock was screened at Canby Union High School over the objection of parents. Based on the book written in 1970 by sociologist and futurist Alvin Toffler, the film was controversial in Canby because, according to the Herald, of its depiction of what sexual attitudes may be in the future. I mean, I haven't seen the film, but I'm just guessing it's no Game of Thrones. The controversy had started after the film was first shown to a high school English class, featuring a cigar-chomping Orson Welles as on-screen narrator. A modern review described the film as darkly dystopian and oozing techno-paranoia. The Canby High School cafeteria was in the news twice in 1978, first when its sprawling 18-by-20-foot mural of the Canby Ferry was dedicated on January 27th. Designed by Lanny Little, the project had included the brushstrokes of 16 different artists. In March, the high school made the decision to cut back after learning they were spending way too much on the variety, quality, and quantity of the cafeteria's food. That was never a problem at my high school. The board was spending about $40,000 annually on their cafeteria alone, which translates to almost $100 a student. If that sounds like not very much, you have to remember that this was 1978. In terms of today's dollars, that would translate to a whopping, wait, $400? That's all? That's like one trip to Costco. Didn't they have Costco in 1978? I don't know. But in 1979, they had a donkey basketball game at the Canby High School gymnasium between the teachers and the Canby Police Department. The PD won in a real barn burner, final score 11-6. Asked what their strategy was, Officer Bob Egg stated, "To get out of this thing alive." Throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s, a constant fixture at the Canby Union High School was Dick Brown, a teacher, principal, coach, and superintendent until his retirement in 1990 after a 29-year career. During his tenure, he oversaw numerous additions to the 1928 building, saw enrollment grow from 400 to over 1,200, and even coached the Cougars to a number of wins over state powers during his long career as head football coach. The Richard R. Brown Fine Arts Center, of course, is named in his honor. Trost Elementary School, today the home of the district's dual language immersion magnet program, opened for the 1993 school year. It was named after Cecile Brown, an education icon whose legacy in Canby spanned four decades, 24 years as a teacher at Echoes Elementary and 14 years as its principal. Prior to that, she had been the last to teach at the one-room Meridian Schoolhouse in Whiskey Hill before it closed due to the merger with the 91 school district in 1947. She once recalled the day a three-legged billy goat barged into the classroom and wrought havoc. That's a quote. She died in 1999 at the age of 88. In 1994, a final unification was voted in by area residents, combining the Canby Elementary, Canby Union High School, Karis, and 91 school districts. In naming the newly formed district, school board members gave careful consideration to a number of candidates, including South Clackamas, Barlow Trail, Baker Prairie, End of the Trail, Oregon Trail, 84 Square Mile, Red Hot Chili, C-Cube 91, and the Tad Better School District. Myself, I would have been quite partial to the Red Hot Chili School District, but I guess I understand why they chose the name they ultimately settled on, Canby School District. In 2005, the district completed its growth for now with the opening of its newest school, Baker Prairie Middle. Long gone were the days that a new school could be had for $16,000. CSD's state-of-the-art middle school cost $29 million. This marks the conclusion of our long-running look at the history of the Canby School District. Next, we'll be telling you about just a few of the hometown sports heroes that have made their mark on Canby's history over the years. But it will have to wait till next time on Canby Then. You know, Halloween will be here before you know it. Heck, the decorations are already in the stores. So I've got a scary good deal for you. DirectLink is offering 50% off their blazing fast internet speeds now through All Hallows Eve. Not only will you get a sweet candy corn of a deal, but every one of their broadband connections comes with unlimited data, free, and that's no trick. So switch to DirectLink to stream and surf as much as you like. Plus, take advantage of free Wi-Fi home networking for 6 months with free installation of commercial-grade Wi-Fi equipment that ensures your entire home has the strongest, most consistent signal in every room. Talk about a treat. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop for blazing fast internet.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate and we saved him $14,000 in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800 or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599, Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183, Equal Housing Opportunity.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
Huge thank you as well to our supporters on Patreon. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we seriously love. For information on how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, a patron of the Canby Now podcast, visit canbynowpod.com/plus.